In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He created the waters. He separated them above and below the firmament. He gathered the waters into the seas. He caused the mist to come up and to water the Garden of Eden. He made the rain begin to fall, and he opened the great fountains of the deep to flood the whole earth, judging it in its unrighteousness. He made the waters to recede so that Noah and his family, 8 souls in all, would be saved through all the danger of the flood. He gathered couples to wells so that they would be fruitful and multiply. He separated the Red Sea and then closed it to drown hard-hearted Pharaoh's host. He used water to ritually clean the priests who offered sacrifice. He took Jonah into the water to be taught through hardship and the great fish what it meant to be a prophet of the Lord. He went without water in his own fasting and temptation. He calmed the wind and the sea by the word of his mouth. He walked on water. And tonight our Lord Jesus Christ wraps himself with a towel, places water into a basin, and does the slave's work of washing the feet of his disciples. Normally, Maundy Thursday is a time when we gather all together to receive the Lord's word and to receive the Lord's supper. Instead, of course, our Lord this year has seen fit to increase our desire for the sacrament by limiting its use among us, showing us the blessing by removing it for a time, allowing us in repentance to cherish it as the gift that it is, to give thanks for all the times that we've been able to receive it, and to look forward to his mercy when we can all together gather again into communion with each other. Each receiving from the Lord his own body and his blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins, and all of us together proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. That those words, until he comes, they have taken on new levels of comfort as the times continue to distress and perplex. May God have mercy on us, and may the time be shortened until we can gather together as his people in this house of the Lord again. Maundy Thursday gets its name from our lesson tonight. The command, the mandate, is from Jesus to love one another as he has loved us. He says that this love will help others, all others, believers and unbelievers alike, to know who his disciples really are. That scripture teaches that this love from God through us unto others can only come by God's own work in and through us, and he works through means. This love is the fruit of faith in Christ. It is the work of the Spirit, the Comforter, to do such love through us. But don't define that love by what the world would dare say love is, in mockery of God, that you will be greatly misled if you follow the world's example and the world's definitions. Love instead comes from what God's word says. God's love is self-sacrificing, selfless, and for the sake of others. That is love. So yes, it is found in common things like acts of charity and kindness. It is found in people fulfilling their callings in their home, in their churches, and in the state. But it is also love when it is found in words of rebuke spoken to one who is caught up in false living. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? And it is found in the instruction which corrects false doctrine. It is found in the Lord chastising his own children. For he chastises, the scriptures say, he chastises those he loves. It is even in the present wrath of God upon his whole creation, teaching the creation to put all those false gods aside and to worship the one true God. The love of the world is a cheap forgery of all of this. God's beloved children, we must love, but we must do so as Christ has commanded, as Christ has taught, and Christ has given the example, not as the world tells us. Christ loves his disciples. He takes on a slave's task, a servant's task. He washes their feet. Peter objects profusely. You shall not. Christ lovingly rebukes him. And he warns him that if Christ does not wash him, he has no part with Christ. And Peter immediately relents of his proud assertion, and he submits to the words of Jesus. He is a disciple after all. He sees the love of Christ for him, and he loves Jesus' words. They are words of eternal life. Even if it means putting his own reputation, his own honor to shame, Jesus' word is more. For the Lord works great things through the weakness of men. It says that Peter didn't understand. Jesus promises that he would later, because Jesus himself would promise the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth who would guide them into all truth, and that Jesus is the truth, that the Spirit would bring all of this to remembrance, and all of them remember later. Peter is the one who confesses in his first epistle that baptism now saves you. Not as the washing away of dirt, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Christ who has gone to heaven and is at the right hand of God. This ties right into tonight's text. That this is how Jesus loved them and how he loves us to the end, all the way back to the Father. That this is why we don't have to do some kind of foot washing spectacle tonight, but instead remember the washing that Jesus has done. A washing that is tied, as it says, to his death at the cross, his resurrection from the dead, and his ascension into heaven. The Apostle Paul puts it this way to the Corinthians, a congregation that had been divided and riddled with all sorts of sin and lovelessness. He told them, after reminding them of their sinful past, of what the love of Christ did for each one of them, that you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. He teaches baptism is a washing of regeneration, a renewal by the Holy Spirit through which Christ saves us. It is how Christ loves the church, giving himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she would be holy and without blemish. And thus, having been washed, you are completely clean, Jesus says. So while we don't have the supper this night, You have heard the word which undergirds and makes even the supper and holy baptism to be all that Christ instituted and promised them to be. That word is strong to save, and it is that gospel which is the power of God unto salvation. And you sitting there in your homes tonight, listening tonight as God's baptized children, being prepared as you hear to be doers of the word, to commit to loving one another as Christ loved you, remind yourselves that Christ has loved you unto the end. This time of captivity, so to speak, it is meant to draw us all into repentance. We have not loved as the disciples of Christ should love. We have forgotten that eternal washing of holy baptism more times than we can remember. We have not regarded the sacrament of the altar as the gift from heaven that it is. We have not valued that blessing it is to gather and to have fellowship with each other. We have not been the members of our household that God has made us to be. That there is so much sin being pointed out in our present days of having all those idols ripped away from us, all those false comforts, all those things we used to look to for health, not to mention then our own fear of death and our sinful love for the things of this world. That this is the time that though we cannot gather as we usually have, this is the time when hearing the message of Christ crucified is more important for you than ever. It is a time of holy visitation, that Christ is drawing you in repentance and faith, and that is fueled by the gospel of his love for you unto the end, that Christ does the work, that tomorrow's lessons of the betrayal, the suffering, and the death of Jesus are important for you, that Christ Jesus saw ahead to your greatest need, and Christ Jesus long ago took care of it. And then right now in the present, he is trying to remind you of it. The lack of love, the idolatry, the pride, the stubbornness, the greater fear of things other than God, the way we have treated others, are all there in Christ as he lays down his life in true love for us. The forgiveness he earned is right here through his word. And it is there with you in your baptism and remembrance of it, and in every little small short communion service being held here in this place. The ears which heard the cries of the mob and the pronouncements of the rulers now hear your cries for mercy. That Christ is mercy for you. And Christ is merciful to you. The love he has shown, that love we show to others, it is the fruit of having faith in him. And it gives others the evidence that we are indeed like Christ, our teacher and our Lord. Christ loved them unto the end. Crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension back to the Father. Because of this good news, we can rely upon this, that Christ also loves you unto your end, your own death to this world, and your entry into eternal life in heaven. That you have been washed. And the one who created the waters is the one who has washed you clean. In the name of Jesus, amen.